My topic is surviving college and high school with your faith intact. Now, as guys, it can be very difficult for us to go through stuff like that. But I want to start off with a verse that Peter already talked about. And that's in Romans 12, and that's verse 1 and verse 2. So Romans 12 says, verse 1 and 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your holy service, your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Now there's a couple points I want to bring up from that first reading right there. And we have, first of all, I want to bring up the idea of conform. Do not conform to this world. Does anybody have an idea what the Webster definition of conformed would be? A dictionary. Yeah. It means to be squeezed into a mold. That's what the word conform is. You need to be squeezed into a mold. Have you guys heard of the word assimilate before? Assimilation is the idea to take somebody from an environment and try and force your environment on them. Or take somebody from that environment and try to tell them this is what's right. And this verse is telling us, do not be conformed to this world. Because when we go off to college and when we go off to high school, there's going to be new experiences. I want to bring up three things that there's going to be new in high school. First of all, there's going to be new surroundings. If you're going off to high school or you're going off to college, especially if you're going away from college, especially if you're going away to a different city, you're going to have a new surrounding, and all of a sudden there's going to be no more pressure. And even in high school, you're going to have more freedom than you did in elementary school. You're not going to be able to teach a lot of this stuff. So, you know, you're not almost free to make your choices if you're in college or if you're in high school. You can choose what you want to do almost, especially in college. If you want to go get drunk, you can go get drunk. If you want to get high, you can go get high. You can do all these things, and nobody's there. You can skip class. You can, you know, pee with the toilet seat up. You can pee in the shower. You can do all these things. And there's no parents there to tell you what to do. But the problem is, you're always free to make the choices, but you are never free to pick the consequences. You're always free to pick whatever you want to do, but you're never free to pick the consequences. The consequences of peeing in the shower is you have to clean it up after. The consequences of having sex is you might have a kid. The consequences of getting drunk is you might do something that you don't know you did, like you wouldn't do in your normal sleep. These are all consequences. I'm not saying if you're all bad things, you might make good choices, and good consequences might come out of them. You have new surroundings. And the truth is, you might think you're by yourself, you might think you're free to make your own choices, but if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're never alone. God is there. God knows everything. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. The Holy Spirit is with us, and we are never alone. And once you realize that, God might actually alter what we choose to do and how we choose to do it. A second thing when you go to high school or when you go to college is you're going to hear about new beliefs. These beliefs such as, you know, atheism or agnostic, homosexuality, feminism, all these beliefs that are different from what you're used to. And here's the thing, you're not going to be with your Sunday school friends that you went through all the way elementary school with. You're going to go to a different high, you might have friends with your friends, but if you go to college or you go to high school, all of a sudden you're going to be put into an environment where you're no longer the majority, you're the minority. If you believe the Bible, if you believe that God created the world, you're no longer going to be the majority, but you're going to be a minority. Almost everybody is going to believe in evolution and, you know, some weird theories that, and here's the thing, they all like to gang up on Christians. Isn't that weird? Every other religion likes to all come and against the Bible and say the Bible's wrong. All this stuff. And once that happens, you're almost opening yourself up when you stick up to the Bible, when you stick up to the creation. You're going to be grateful in a moment. No one else will believe what you believe. And then there's going to be new experiences. You're going to experience stuff you've never experienced before. You're going to experience these new beliefs. You're going to see things you've never seen before. You're going to feel things you've never felt before. And a lot of times, when you encounter these new experiences, and you encounter these new thoughts, doubt creeps in. I'm not using this. What do I need to make of this? You know, and when that's true, then you're going to make, then a lot of times these new experiences, you're going to make compromises to the standards that you had with Christ upon what you feel and upon your doubts. Now I want to take a look at an example from this in the Bible in Daniel 1. Just take a look here. In Daniel 1. Now Daniel was a great guy. I'm going to read a couple of verses from Daniel 1. But I think 10. As we're just looking on here. To Daniel 1, it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. He almost destroyed it, left it in rubble, attacked it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Sinai, to the house of God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of God. Then the king ordered Ashkenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and other nobles. Youth in whom there is no defect, were good looking, and God is understanding, their standing knowledge, and who have the ability to serve in the king's court. He ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he had drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Among from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commanders of the officials assigned new names to them. To Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah he assigned the name Shadrach, to Mishael, and Azariah, Abednego. Now this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and this is what we're going to base most of what we're talking on today. Verse 8 in Daniel 1. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander and the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the officials. Now there's a couple of points I want to bring out of there. First of all, Daniel was taken from his home and put into a new surrounding. Now most of us will not get forced to go to a kind of college or some of us might. Most of us will not get forced to go to high school, but it doesn't matter. Like us going to college and going to high school, we're in a new surrounding. We're all in a new surrounding. If you take a look at verse 4 says, youth in whom there is no defect. So first of all, youth, we're all here in our teenagers and our young adults in our 20s, and maybe there's a couple of older guys in the crowd. And, you know, and who does know the fact who are good looking, some of you are good looking, showing intelligence, some of you are showing intelligence, and that you wisdom and God in understanding and discerning knowledge, and who have the ability to serve in a king's court. So, you know, Daniel was quite like that. He was similar to us, you know, he was so that's another, that's in verse 4. And then we take a look at verse 4 and verse 5. We skip to the second half of verse 4. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service, right? This is how the Babylonians get to see Gentiles. This is how the Babylonians would win. They would enter a town, they would completely destroy it, they'd take the young capable men, they'd take them back, and they would train them. And then eventually those young men would enter into a new town, and they kept doing it like that. But they wanted to conform Daniel from his Israelite background into a Babylonian lifestyle. They wanted to take him, they wanted to teach him, they gave him a new name, they wanted to teach him the language and the literature, the beliefs. They wanted to change everything about him so that he would now be one of them. But listen in verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. Now, I don't know why Daniel made up his mind, but there's obviously something about the food or something about the wine that was against God's law. I'm not sure if the food was offered to idols. I'm not sure in all this. I'm not exactly sure about that. But I know that this was something that was against God's law. When we're going, like,
When we're going to college, we need to be ready because there's going to be a lot of things that change. When we go to high school, there's going to be a lot of things that change. We're going to see a lot of things we've never seen before. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to be not conformed to this world. And it's great that I can stand and tell you all about this, and this is what you're supposed to do, but how, right? How is this supposed to do? Well, there's 4 points. But what that came up, and you can add a bunch of points if you want to ask it. But first of all, we need to have a conviction. A conviction means to be convinced of what I believe. We need to be convicted that the Bible is the true word of God. Daniel believed that the law that God gave him was the true word, and he believed it. And because of his conviction for that, he did not defile himself. And likewise, we need to be the same. We need to be convicted. We need to be convinced that the word of God is true, that God is true. We need to know our Bible. This is one of the most important things. After knowing Christ, we need to get into the Word, and we need to make the Word our own. Because a lot of us here, whether or not you grew up in a Christian home, you would have had the influence from the Christian home, you know, those beliefs. Whether you grew up in a non-Christian home and you went to a church, you would have had those beliefs. But a lot of people take the parents' beliefs and say that's the truth. And I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying what happens, we need to make the truth our own. We need to speak out the Word, and we need to make the truth our own. And then we need to take action. We need to have a communion with God. We need to have daily communion with God. If we want to be able to compete in this world, if we want to be able to survive with our faith intact in college and in high school, we need to be in the Word daily, and we need to be in prayer daily. Because if we're not constantly feeding ourselves with the Word of God, if we're not constantly petitioning our God in prayer, we are going to fail. You can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can hang out with all the Christian friends you want. You can do all this. But if you are not in the Word, if you are not in prayer, if you are not feeding upon these spiritual things, you are almost destining yourself to fail. We need another person is we need fellowship with other Christians. We need even a local church. God gave us the church. It doesn't matter which denomination you are. God gave us the church as a family that we can take part in. As a family of God, we need that family atmosphere. We need the accountability. There you go. We need the accountability of the local church. We need to find that. And when you go off to college, when you're in high school, you might be in the same church, so you might go to church. But when you're in college, I know it might be hard to find a church. You know, and obviously, if you believe in different beliefs and others, you want to find a church that's the same denomination as you. But not always, that's not always around. But then you want to find a church that believes that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, believes in the Word of God. You know, all the differences that there are between the denominations don't really matter besides the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that the Bible is the true Word of God, and there is no incorrectness. It is perfect. And once you find that, you need to get yourself involved with that fellowship of the local church, that family. You need friendship in college. I know in high school, when I went to high school, I know I thought I was the only Christian in the whole school. And what did I do? I stuck to my own. I never talked to anybody. I never looked to any other Christians. And what happened? My high school years were wasted. My witness to Christ. I didn't witness to one person. I never shared the gospel with one person because I thought I was the only one. And I could not take on a whole high school of 800 students. And what happens? I left high school. All of a sudden, people I met in high school said, oh, you're a Christian I never knew. And all this. You meet people after the fact. We need to find ourselves friends that can hold us accountable. We need to find ourselves true Christian friends that we can hold each other accountable to reading and a prayer, to help each other, to encourage each other, to hold each other accountable for what choices we make. There's always a friend. Now, they might not be the same denomination we do. They may not believe the exact same thing you do, but we still need the accountability of somebody who loves Christ just as much as we do. But I want to take a look at something in Daniel. In Daniel 6, now, I could, if you think I'm wrong, you correct me off, I could be adding to the text that's not there. Hopefully I'm not. But it says, Now among the sons from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. For some reason, these four were pointed out compared to the rest. Now, what I think that is I think that the rest conform to the Babylonian lifestyle, right? It mentions those four, though, those things, those four good, but it doesn't mention the rest. And you know, almost seem like those four conform to the Babylonian lifestyle. And I read this guy, I'm not saying this to be mean, I'm not saying this to you hate anybody too, but in room this size, there are going to be people that enter to high school, enter to college, if you get sucked in and who get pulled in from the presence that Solomon is talking about. And you know, almost all of a sudden, they no longer are these great Christian folks, but they're just like the rest of the world. And that's what I believe happened with the rest of the Israelites that were from Judah. And we need to find true Christian friends who not only love the Lord, the God, but are not afraid of it. We need to grow as a group. And fellowship is one of the most important aspects of a Christian's life. The church is there. You have your friendship. You have all of this. And it's a gift from God, really. Fellowship with the church and with friends. It's just great. You've heard the term of iron sharpened iron. That's what we want to do. Confirmation. Now, we will see the changes when we commit to God. It's not only possible to enter college or to enter high school and to keep your faith intact, but it is very much possible to have your faith grow. Now, I want to look at one more example from Daniel's life. Actually, this is not Daniel, but one more example in the book of Daniel. And that's in Daniel 3, and I believe, I'll start in verse 15 actually. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, filled with wrath, and his angry expression was offered towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. He commanded 7 valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to toss them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in the trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other coats, and they were cast in the midst of the furnace of burning fire. For this reason, because the king's commandment was very urgent, and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire flew the men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the three men fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and stood up in haste. He said to the officials, was it not three men we cast down in the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men leap and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw the guards to these men that fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head thin, nor was the trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels and delivered his servants, who put their trust in him, violating the king's commands and yielding up the body, so I cannot serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make the decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and the house is reduced to rubble. Inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Then the king called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. Excuse me for a second. There's a couple points. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were the names they were given, refused to bow the knee. Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, if you refuse to bow any to me and to my God, you will be thrown into the lake, not to the lake of fire, into the furnace. And what did they do? They refused to, and they said, they put their trust in God. They knew that to bow the knee to the idols was breaking the law of God, which they were convicted about. They believed it was true, and because they believed it was true, they stuck to it. So what did they do? They tie them up and they throw them in the furnace. The furnace was so hot that even the guards carrying these guys died. And these were normal guys. These were valiant men from the king's army. And what happened? Nebuchadnezzar looked in the furnace and he sees four people standing, and they're untied. And who's the fourth one? He says it looks like the Son of God. It was Jesus Christ himself, the pre-incarnate. And he looks, and this is great. And eventually they come out, and not only did they get free, but now a whole province of Babylon has to respect God, the Most High God, the one true God. And this is like, this can happen in our lives. We can stick up for the Bible. We can hold to our faith. We can be in prayer. We can be in the Word. We can teach. We can make this to our own. And when we do this, when we truly do this, we will see the changes. We will see people coming to Christ. We will see all these things. We will see hearts won, and we will see God is there for us. Just like in the verse, in the first section of God, when it says, God called Daniel, and showed compassion. And in this verse, when Jesus Christ came and was with them in the furnace. You know, this is amazing that we have a God like this who would do such great things to just you. And all he asks us is to stick with him. You know, I struggled a lot with a God in the past. And I was talking to somebody in my church, and he said, listen, you know, maybe some of you aren't, but there's two natures in us. We have the old nature and the new nature. And we can still see both, right? We're never going to lose our salvation, but which nature are you seeing? Are you seeing the new nature with fellowship and with the Word of God, with prayer, with you know, all these things, music and all? Or are you seeing the old nature with lust, with flesh, with the pleasures, with, you know, whatever your sin is, with sin? And what's going to happen? The nation you're feeding more is a nation that's going to win. If we want to be bold witnesses to God, if we want to stick up for Christ and what it means, if we want to survive college, and we want to go in college and in high school with our faith intact, we need to take up our cross, we need to follow Christ, we need to be in prayer, we need to study the Word of God, and we, above all, we need to take the Word of God to be our own. We need to, you know, and we will see results. We will see all that's happening. We just have to trust in God. God's 3 points is that God is able to change us, God wants to change us, and God will change us, and that we love him. So about, you know, that was a good 23 minutes. That's pretty good. So now the rest of the time, there's discussion. Now, I'm not sure if there's any form. You can ask questions. You can bring a topic up, maybe another verse in the Bible that you feel has relevance to what you learned this weekend, maybe an experience. It's a topic that young men deal with, right? Moving out on my own was probably one of the worst decisions I could ever make when I was younger. But it opened up all this to, you know, different things. And just being men, I think we struggle more with this than females. I think females don't have, you know, the hormone, when they have the hormones, they're not there. You know, we're always looking for pleasure, right? We're always looking for fun. As guys, you know, you get the jokes from whatever you do. And we need to be in prayer about this because it's such an important thing. Like Daniel is such a great example. These guys, Daniel went on to be a great person in Babylon. You know, we got Daniel in the lion's den. God was able to protect him through all that, and God will protect us. And it's not just college, it's high school. I know you got moved on in the air when you go into high school, but high school is, you know, just as bad as the parties. There's everything that's involved with, you know, easy believism and all this stuff that is bombarding us all the time. You go on Facebook and you look at the ads on the side. You do all these things, and it's just crazy the amount that the devil in the world is trying to not conform us, but show us. And it's just, we need, as a group of men, to commit ourselves to the Lord, and to be holy, to be set apart, that we might not sin, that we might be able to show the world that it is possible for you and guys to be godly, and we can change the world. You look at the disciples, where there's 12 of them, and they brought the message to the whole world. And what the group of 30 or 40 guys, what can we do if we truly commit ourselves to God? I could talk the whole time, but I don't want to. No, it's not a rhetorical question. What can we do that we can change the world for God? What's something we can do that we can bolden our witness? Whether in high school or college, you know, in middle school, it doesn't matter. What can we do? Yes. We can help others believe. We can, you mean we can bring the message to them? That's who we can witness. We can share Christ with people. That's probably the most important way that we can change the world, that we can bring the message. And we got to realize that a lot of people are afraid of what people will believe. And it's really, once I realize that no matter what we say, we can be the best preacher on the face of the planet, but if the Holy Spirit is not working through us, nothing is going to happen. We have to realize that it's the Holy Spirit's job to convert. It's God's job to save. And if we are just told to be messengers, and that's all we are on this planet. That's good. What else can we do? Pardon? Love others. That's perfect. We can let what? Love others. Okay. Yes. Sorry, everybody's laughing. I thought I heard something. But that's true. I think that if we can love, first of all, each other, I know it sounds weird to love each other, but because of the blood of Christ, we all have a relationship through Christ, and we can love each other, and we can show love to each other, and we can, because of this love, we can show the world that there is something different, right? It's great. As Christians are supposed to be set apart, and when something's different from the world notices, and they'll ask you. And once somebody asks, that's a perfect opportunity. If they see differences in between us, if they see differences in between the group of guys that hang out in this corridor and the group of guys in this class, and there's something different, they are going to ask you, and then that's a perfect opportunity to become a loving soul for each other and for the world. There's the opportunity to raise their interest in Christ. So we've got additional Bible verses to add.
Mm-hmm. sound wrong and not to go wrong from that kind of stuff to go wrong and so on.
Yep.
Well, we keep the good book hard enough to go about the book. How about that? We put up. Well, we can do this too. I was in a position to ask you to do it. I didn't even know how to have anything to do with anybody. All I could do is that it's just because I don't know about the world, I don't know any of the same problems that took a lot of things to do for an institution. And you know what? It works. But at the same time, I know I didn't want to know. I'm also supporting you. One of the most important parts of the decision, I believe, that this is supposed to be great for more than just that. It's one thing to go into the university or high school and avoid the most completely, but that may not be the right thing. We've all been out there, we've got noticed, and we've got to show other people how to make that difference.
I agree. I agree with you. I agree that, obviously, I heard somebody tell me that they go to the bar so they can tell people about Christ. You know, I'm not saying this is good or bad, but to me that seems, you know, that is this guy, this is what this guy did. But to avoid it, we can't avoid the world. We're supposed to be out in the world. But I think we also need to be careful that we don't go into almost a taking a part of. We can take part in this thing so we can share Christ. You know, I've seen people who have said that they've done it. I've seen people done that before. And they say they take part in this so they can show people Christ. You know, and I agree with Mike, we can't avoid the world completely because the world's all around us and the world is dying and going to hell. We need to be bold witnesses to be set apart. And I agree. Anything else? The pleasures the world let in. And I've had the same thing. I've had people say, well, God created sin so you can have no fun. So they said, God said sin bad so you can have no fun, right? And those people obviously don't understand that not only is sin a sin because in the long run it hurts us. You know, to do all these things in the long run it hurts us. God knows what's best for our life and He knows where we're headed and He wants us to help us along the way. And, you know, so that's a good point. We're all going to talk to that sometime where he says, well, obviously you're a Christian, you have no fun. What do you mean you don't have sex before marriage? Sex is so fun and all this and all that, you know, and it's just, that's a good point, I guess. Yep. Well, how much more time do we have? We gotta get some conversation going here. Well, thank you for listening, guys. Hopefully, I didn't bore you out. Thank you for everybody that is. Thank you.